California. It is 8:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Hey, today is the 19th of July, and it is 2016. It's still summer, and I'm glad to be here. God bless each and every one of you. Sister Rosalind, I see you there. God bless you. Sister Cruz, God bless you. And welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour, Facebook Live, Periscope. God bless each and every one of you. And I want to invite you to, you can call in if you have questions or you want prayer after this program. You can call in 646-668-8468 on the Prodigal Church Hour on Blog Talk Radio. If you would like to, like prayer, or you have a comment at the end of this program, if you have something to share, please call in. You can call in right now and be on hold until the end of the program and listen to the program from your phone, 646-668-8468, and I want to welcome you to part two of The God of This Age Has Blinded Their Minds. The God of This Age, which is Satan himself, has blinded the minds. I did part one last night. If you didn't get a chance to check it out, please go to Blog Talk Radio or just Google Minister Big Ken 65, and you can go there and listen to over 625 messages that I've done in the last 6 years. So please be encouraged and continue to stand with us and pray for us and stand with us financially if you can on GoFund account. You can prayerfully support us financially and help any amount is very much appreciated. And we're just trying to get the gospel out. We're trying to take the gospel to the world and encourage people because, friends, we are living in some dark times. Spiritual blindness is all around us. So many people are focused on who's going to be the next president, but they're not worried about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is the one who is really in charge of this world. He's really in charge, friends. And even though Satan seems like he's raising his head up and trying to make some noise, just remember, at the end of the Bible, remember, Christ wins. You just want to make sure you're on the winning team. You want to make sure you're not in a religion, but you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you have made him your Lord and Savior. 646-668-8468. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. We'll have a couple of quick announcements, and then we'll get right into the night's message, "The God of This Age Has Blinded Their Minds," Part 2. Father God in heaven, we come before you, Lord, just standing, Lord God, standing on your word, standing on your truth, because you are truth, Lord God. You never lie. We lift you up this evening, Lord God, and we ask, Lord God, we invite you in to speak to our hearts, that you would teach us, that you would minister to us, that you would open our eyes to spiritual blindness. It might be subtle, it might be broad, but Lord, we right now, we need you to open our eyes, Lord, that we may know the truth, and the truth will set us free, Lord. Let us continue to walk by faith and not by sight, but let us not walk in blind faith. Let us read our word, let us study the word, so that we will be equipped for every good work as we continue to fight this good fight. We are soldiers down here, and we are living in a battlefield right now. But we know that, Lord, at the end of this battle, you have already won. You have already defeated the enemies of our souls, and we know that one day we will see, we will dwell with you peacefully. We will dwell with you forever as Christ Jesus, our Lord and King. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. May I decrease, may you increase in me, and may the word of God have its place on the hearts that you have prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. If you're in the Los Angeles area, you're seeking a Bible teaching church, you come out to Core Church of Los Angeles. On Thursday nights, we have our Thursday night Bible study. Core Church LA, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And you can also check out the website at www.corechurchla.org. Maybe you have some family members looking for a Bible-based church, a Bible-teaching church, and a place where they can be loved on. If you're in the Los Angeles area, please don't. Please invite them. Let them know that, hey, Core Church of L.A., not the best, because we don't, none of us are good people. But I can tell you one thing, friends. We have a heart for the Word of God, a heart for the Lord, and a heart for lost souls. So please take the opportunity to check out the website, www.corechurchla.org. And also you can check me out daily on our daily devotions on Facebook Live and Periscope. You can check me out here on Facebook at DarylKendrick@Facebook.com. DarylKendrick@Facebook. You can find me there. And also on Periscope at Daryl Kendrick or Minister Big Ken on Periscope. So we're just trying to, we're just one little guppy in God's big ocean trying to get the word of God out. I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody how to meet the one who can save everybody. And all you got to do is trust in the one who he is, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He died in our place, and he took our disgrace so he can make us a new creation. And if you put your faith in him, friends, I promise you, there's nothing in that world you'll want to go back to. Even though your flesh might deceive you and blind you for a moment, you'll know that there's nothing back there in that world that's going to give you any kind of hope, true hope. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, we started this lesson yesterday. It's part 2 today. And we're going to look at, again, what does it mean to be spiritually blind? Hey, Sister Jacqueline, God bless you. What does it mean to be spiritually blind, and how can we avoid being spiritually blind? We want to look at what it looks like to be spiritually blind, but we want to most of all look at not allowing spiritual blindness to take us back to the world or try to captivate us or take us captive. It's important for you and I, friends, to realize that Christ is still in charge of this world. Even though Satan is the god of this age, he's the god of this world, he's been allowed to be here, but friends, he is not the one that's really in charge. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren or sisters. He goes to and fro from earth to heaven, and he accuses us. He cannot kill us without God's permission. He cannot touch us without God's permission. Some people he already have because they're in darkness. They're spiritually blind. They're dead in their trespasses and sins, and he's basically using them, pimping them, just like he did with the three-fourths of the heavenly host that he took with him when they were cast out of heaven. Those angels that left with Lucifer left because they had as much pride as he did, and they decided that it was going to be okay to follow the one who would deceive them. And you and I, friends, have to be wise and discerning in these last days to make sure that we are walking in truth. And that's why it's important, friends. Don't think that every church is a church that fears God. Don't think that every pastor is a pastor called by God. Many people are standing behind pulpits who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Many false prophets are gone out into the world, and they work for Satan himself, and they're standing up. They have started their own churches. They started their own churches for greed and covetousness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what they do. They went into this as a business venture. And we don't seem to want to identify and call them out because, oh, I can't judge nobody. Foolishness. Foolishness, my friends. We are commanded by Scripture to test the spirits. Now, if you're a false prophet, a false teacher, and you're teaching lies and deceiving people, and everybody know you're doing it, but we want to just sit there and say, well, I can't judge nobody. Well, you get what you ask for. You basically reap what you sow because you're sitting up under that nonsense. And the Bible clearly tells us, hey, expose the unfruitful works of darkness. If we can call Satan a liar, why can't we call his disciples liars? Why can't we call the false teacher or the one who pimps people for money from the pulpit every 5 minutes in the church? Why we won't call them liars and thieves and covetous? Oh, because he's a pastor? Really, is he a pastor, or is he a passer? Is he an apostle or an apostate? You know, it's amazing that when we was in the world, we would identify false people. But we come into the quote-unquote church, and we act like we can't call nobody out. I'm not sitting up under any crook, any criminal that's standing by just because he's standing by in a pulpit. Do you know how many women are molested or young girls are taken advantage of in the body of Christ every year because of, quote-unquote, we don't want to judge anything, we don't want to call out sin? I mentioned this before on several times on programs. I was reading an article about a pastor down in Jacksonville who had went to prison for, I believe, almost 9 years for child molestation. He had taken advantage of a 15 or 16-year-old in his congregation. Do you know when that rascal got out? Some church hired him and brought him right back into the pulpit. And you know that because you're a child sex offender, you can't even be but so many yards away from the church. So all the children, they had to basically put another building up so that they could have this pastor in because they were so thirsty for some human being that they basically didn't care if the man was a pedophile. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not one to say that we cannot forgive and we should not forgive. But let's be honest, friends. If you're a child molester, if you're a pedophile, I'm not letting you watch my kids. I'm not going to let you watch my kids without me being present. Can you be delivered? Absolutely. A rapist can be delivered. All people can be delivered. But we still have to have some discernment about that. And this man was known for messing with 15, 16, 17-year-olds in the church. So if you got those issues, I want to make sure you're accountable. It's just like if I got addiction with porn, or I know a brother that has addiction with porn, my love for him is going to be, hey, let's put your computer and put a password on it so we can watch. We can make sure you don't stumble. See, and his job to me, or his love as a brother, would be say, hey, man, I need somebody that's going to hold me accountable. But now, in today's church age, in today's around this group of people, we allow anything and everything to go on. And it's amazing how we will criticize, we'll look on the news and criticize people we don't like, and we'll make it a race issue, or we'll make it some kind of political issue, but we'll call out, we'll talk about these folks like a dog. But you speak about some big-name preacher, and all of a sudden, oh, you can't touch God's anointing. Who said he was anointed? And let's be honest, friends. Biblically, let's be biblical. Every one of us has an anointing on us. Every believer who is a spirit-filled believer who's walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you might not have the same calling, but we are all anointed with the Holy Spirit. There's no special Holy Spirit for the pastor. There's no special Holy Spirit for the singer. There's no special Holy Spirit for anybody. We all have been filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we are anointed. And that means even more so, we should be wise and discerning and know when the devil's trying to play us and fool us and pimp us. Let's look at what the Bible says about, again, our text from the scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll read the very first verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. Paul says, hey, we're not no crooks. We don't peddle the gospel for profit. We're not using some kind of trickery to get you to come to Christ. We don't sit here and try to sell you a Jesus that's going to bless you financially and give you a bunch of stuff down here. That's not what it's about, friends. We have no underhanded methods here. We don't have no underhanded methods over here. What I do, friends, I do because I love him. I do because I want to see souls come to Christ. I want to see people raised up from their dead state of immorality, their dead state of perversion, whatever it is that you're in bondage to, whatever the shackles of sin has got you, I want to see you raised up in newness. And the only way we can do that, friends, is we must preach boldly, and we must preach under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we must preach the Word of God. 66 love letters here, my friends. We must preach it. We must teach it. We must tell it. Because the Word of God is profitable for teaching and for correction, so that the man of God should be thoroughly trained in righteousness. There will be no righteousness if we try to water this word down. We try to, oh, I don't want to offend nobody. The gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Stop with that. Oh, I don't want to offend nobody. I want everybody to like me. I already know I'm not like. Satan hates me. He hates you too. When you stand for truth, he does not want you to be effective to reach souls. He can't stand you. So get in line. Jesus wasn't like either. He said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Why are we so worried about the world falling in love with us? If you're still in love with the world, or if the world still loves you, maybe it's because you're still acting like them. And we're told here again in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers. They're not believers. They're make believers, fake believers, false prophets, goats pretending to be sheep. They're not true. He says that the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing what? The light of the gospel, of glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. Look, you hear a gospel message, or you hear people that hear a gospel message, do you know immediately Satan is right there trying to snatch that word out of their heart? Immediately. It could be a powerful message that the man of God has presented, and he's giving that person this message. And all of a sudden, that person is offended, or and immediately the enemy snatches it out. Read Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. Four heart conditions, only one soul is saved. Four heart conditions, four different soils, and only one soul gets saved. Everybody's not saved in that parable. Everybody has not received the message and walked in it and bear fruit. See, when you truly are spiritual, spiritually enlightened, I mean, spirit-filled by the Holy Spirit, because I have to be careful with that word. A lot of people on social media talk about how spiritual they are. I want to know what spirit you feel by. Spiritual, what do you mean? See, the question is, what do you mean by spiritual? Because there are demons out here, and guess what? They infill human beings. They take control of them. They cause them to act out. They empower them to do evil things. So you have to be careful when you say, I'm spirit-filled, or I'm spiritual. Because that can mean a number of different things, and it can be occultic. You could be listening to some satanic voices. You could be into voodoo or in Hinduism, Buddhism, or anything. You could be chanting around here, taking yourself into altered states of consciousness. But you're not spirit-filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives you self-control. John 9:39, Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. What does Jesus mean here? He says, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. See, he's talking about, it's a play on words here. This is the difference between someone who is spiritually awake and spiritually blind. Because, see, when you are truly enlightened with the gospel, you have a different spiritual sense of what's going on around you. Everything starts to change. Your sin nature, what you used to be, what you used to love, you don't love anymore. You detest those things. The more you lay off the old man, Colossians chapter 3, the more you lay off the old man and the more you put on Jesus Christ, the more your spiritual, I don't want to use the word spidey senses, but for the sake of just making it a play on words, you should be able to discern. You should be able to have an idea of what's going on around you. Ladies, when you're dating, you should know if this person is of God or is he of the flesh. Is he just trying to lay with you, or does he really want a wife? And this is another thing, friends, ladies. Just because he say he a Christian, don't mean he a Christian. Just because he go to church, don't mean he's of the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia. It does not mean that he loves God. Do you know how many of Satan's men, disciples, are in there gnawing on sheep, taking advantage of the vulnerable lambs, because some women are so thirsty for a quote-unquote man that they will sell themselves out to have a relationship? Y'all better listen now. We're not getting all the women don't get pregnant and not have no husbands. They're not getting pregnant because the guy ain't running okey-doke. Sometimes y'all running okey-doke too, but let's just call it what it is. And we're talking about in the church. When we see in our 13, 14, 15, and on up, young ladies impregnating in the house of the Lord, I got to wonder, why is not the pastor calling this out? Why is he not speaking against sexual immorality of all kinds? Why isn't he calling the sisters, the older women of the church, to stand up for righteousness and say, this is not going to be a porn shop here. This is the house of the Lord. You should come here to worship in spirit and in truth. And we need to call them to accountability. We love on them, yes, but we have to call truth. It's an epidemic around town, friends. It's an epidemic in the church. Unmarried women, unmarried young women are impregnated. We got so many of them in the hood, in the neighborhoods. Why is it in our culture, predominantly, we have more abortions than any other group of people? Because we want to sweep away the problem. Spiritual blindness, my friends, that's a baby. That's not just a thing. That's not a piece of ooze. That is a human being that God created in the womb. But we want to sweep the problem away, and then we go back and have another problem, and so on and so on. And we have four or five different children. There is no husband. There is no father around. And you know the definition of insanity, my friend? Doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result. When you and I, when we do the same thing over and over again, there's been so many years, there used to be a time, friends, in our culture, around our group of people, in our race, if you want to use that word, in the African-American world or culture, where the black man was strong in his family. When he didn't have nothing, when he didn't have the best of jobs, he was strong to his family. He was committed to his family. What happened to those times, friends? What has happened? Satan has blinded the minds. And now the women don't believe that they need a husband no more. Oh, I don't need no man. I make six figures. I can do whatever I want to do. Man ain't going to run my life. I ain't going to be able to do that. I don't know. I don't need no man. That's nonsense, friends. God gave a desire for a woman to have a husband. And he gave a husband a desire to have a woman. The problem is that we think we know better than God. And look at our society. Look at all the children that have no husband, have no fathers. But you get a lot of quote unquote sperm donors. They come, drop off, and then they depart. Spiritual blindness, my friends. This is what happens when we don't follow God's plan. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've done it right. I ain't going to sit here and tell you I did everything right in my life. No. But when you mature, when you grow up, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And it goes for the women, too. You have to come a time in your life, you have to remove the scales. You cannot just be a church goer, but you have to be a Bible believer, a Bible living human being, and you walk in the Word of God, and the Word of God leads and directs you. In Psalm 119, we're told that the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You know why we seem to be stumbling, we seem to be walking in darkness? Because we have put this book down. And we're walking in darkness. Spiritual blindness, again. We don't care what God's word says anymore. And this is why our society, our nation, our world is in the turmoil that it's in. Because lawlessness has come in. We don't care what God says about righteousness, about morality. We don't care. But guess what, friends? We're reaping what we sow. Every nation in the Bible that abandoned God paid a penalty for it, including Israel. Even though they're still God's covenant people, they had to experience God's wrath and judgment when they decided that they were not going to listen to the God of all, the God of creation. And there ain't nothing new under the sun. If he did that to Israel, will he not, or is he not, removing his hand of protection on America? All the liberties, all the blessings that we've had, but for the last 35, 40 years, friends, we have basically told God, kick rocks. We don't want you here. We can run this show. And look at the world. Spiritual blindness. Men don't know if they want to be men. Women don't know if they want to be women. And in between, people just, hey, I can do whatever I want. We'll call that bisexual. I call it trisexual. I'll just try anything. That means if I want to be with an animal tomorrow, I'll be with an animal. If I want to be with a woman, I'll be with a woman. I'll be with a man. Whatever it makes me feel good, because we've taken God's word and said there is no God and there's no moral compass anymore. Spiritual blindness. It's all around us. And there is a solution, friends. When we come back, when we get fired, when we start to look at ourselves in the mirror, God's word is the mirror. When we look at ourselves in the mirror and we make a U-turn and say, I don't want to go the direction I'm going anymore. I've tried this for the last 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and I haven't had any peace yet. I've tried to, hey, maybe I'll just go to church and first man that wants me, I'll just take him. The first woman that wants me, I'll take her. It's not going to work that way, friends. Are you really praying and asking God to give you a man or a woman that will fit your lifestyle, what you're trying to do, what God has for you? Do you really have a heart for the things of God and the people of God? It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to remove the scales. Romans 11:8 says, as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. This is what he did to Israel. And guess what, friends? Some of them, most of America is under this stupor. We don't see it. We're too busy worrying about Trump and Hillary Clinton that we're not worried about Jesus, the triumphant king, the one who has already promised us that if we follow him, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen. We win in the end. We'll win in the end if we follow the King of Glory and his commandments. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to walk upright. He wants us to submit ourselves to his word. What do you think the devil's trying to do? He's trying to counter that with a lie. You know, it's nothing new under the sun. He tried to offer Jesus all of the kingdoms of this world. He tried to offer him all of the things down here. And he's still trying to do that. He got a lot of pimp preachers in the pulpit that's basically going around trying to tell you you can get rich. You can get rich if you just trust in Jesus. You can get rich. You can get all your heart's desire, all your heart's desire, if you just trust in Jesus. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're not going to get everything you want. I'm not going to get everything I want. Thank God I won't. See, if God gave me everything I wanted, then I wouldn't want him. It would be something that would turn me away from him, and if it turns me away from him, it's not for me. Too many people worried about trying to get stuff down here. And that's why the God of this age continues to put blinders on us. First, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Isaiah 43:8, he says, bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. See, it's not about being physically blind, friends. God can do more with one who is physically blind than he can with those who can see with perfect eyesight and perfect ear pitch. See, the God of our Heavenly Father is more in tune with those who can't see than those that can have eyes to see. See, when we're humble, we can hear from heaven. But when we're full of our pride, when we're trying to do our own thing, friends, we are spiritually, we basically have no ears to hear and no eyes to see. And that's why we continue to stumble. That's why we continue to walk around and act like we don't know what's going on in this world. And we don't seem to be concerned about what's going on in this world. But guess what? One day it'll be too late. One day it'll be too late, friends, and your lack of concern, our lack of concern about the things in this world and what's going on around us, this lawlessness in the area. See, I see the real picture of what's going on when we're dealing with race. It's not us. It's not the human being. It's the heart. And the heart is being moved or been trashed. It's been changed because of a person who has allowed the enemy to blind them. Blind him with hatred. He's a murderer. Satan himself. He comes as an angel of light, but he comes deceiving people. That's why we have racism. It's the father of lies who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Are you listening to him, or are you listening to the voice of the one who supposedly bought you, who saved you, who made you a new creation? Matthew 13:16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So when you hear the word of God, you should immediately know who is giving the word of God is speaking from God. He's speaking from the word of God. The word of God is not just some book, friends, that we open up and read it when we get bored. But this book is able to transform lives. This book is able to remove the scales from the blind and to remove the wax out of the ears, spiritually speaking, so you can see clearly. See, we should be able to say, I can see clearly now, my sin is gone. See, when we're walking with God, God wants us to, he doesn't want us to be dumbed down, friends. He doesn't want us walking around acting like we don't know what's right and wrong. He wants us to walk upright in obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me and keep my commandments. Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Do you realize everyone who lives a lawless life, lives this life of disobedience to the King of Glory, is under the power of the prince of the air, Satan himself? When you and I decide that we want to live apart from God 5 days, 6 days a week, and one day a week we want to show some kind of love for God by going, quote unquote, to the house of God, which we're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we go into the house of God and we want to get religious, my friends. Do you realize Satan loves that? Because you take him with you too. You take him in there too, and you go in there with your foolishness. You go in there with all your bag and baggage of sin, and when we think we're deceived because we're blind, we think that God don't see our mess. We think that God don't see our mess. Spiritual blindness. We got this mentality, oh, God knows my heart. Really? Do we really believe that? Because see, if I know that in my heart of hearts that God knows my heart, I should be in awe and reverence and fear of the fact that God is going to judge me by the motives of my heart. When my motives are impure, when I'm walking around, slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding, and I think that God, well, you know, God, you know my heart. It doesn't matter what we do. See, when we start to put this in our spirit that we're going out here and violate God's commandments, and we're going to do it premeditatedly with this attitude that God knows our heart, and God, you know I'm weak in this area. How about asking God, Lord, you know I'm weak in this area, keep me from me. Lord, you know that I am not strong here. I have not overcome this particular thing. I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to bind me up, gird up my mind that I don't think this way, so I don't walk this way. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. So we're too busy asking God for things down here versus the things that's going on wrong in our own hearts and minds. Galatians 3:1 says, O foolish Galatians, who has betwixt you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed and crucified. See, the Jews here in Galatians, they thought that if they kept Judaism and then tried to walk, you know, tried to be, they claimed they were justified by faith, but you had to keep the law. They claimed that they were justified by faith, but they were still trying to put on this religion and rituals, just like some people today. They want to hold you in bondage with spiritual blindness. They say, oh, you got to keep the Sabbath. You got to do this. You must be baptized this way. You got to do a bunch of rituals. Man, that's bondage. That's spiritual blindness. Because Christ died and set me free from the law. I'm no longer under law. I'm under grace. And grace don't disgrace him. Grace don't give me a license to go out and do what I want to do. Grace set me free from doing the things that I used to be a slave to. Those things that I used to be a slave to, because of grace, I know that, Lord, you got so much better for me. You got so much better for us when we just surrender and submit our will to your will. See, God's not going to force anything. He's not going to force us to do nothing. But he will take us to the woodshed. And we wonder why our blessings don't come in. We wonder why we don't receive the things. Well, if you read back here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's go back here, because I hear a lot of prosperity pimps try to use this as something that they try to they try to put themselves, the church, into this same category. But guess what, friends? It don't. We're not Israel. Israel was is Israel and was Israel then. Israel is still Israel. But notice what he says. Notice what he says about the blessings for obedience to Israel. He says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I've commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you should be in the... I know most of y'all already know it, but I want to point out something. Blessed you should be in the city, and blessed you should be in the field. Blessed you should be... blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you and in your barns and in all that you and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, and he has sworn to you if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your livestock and in the fruit of your ground within the land. And the Lord swore to your fathers to give you the Lord. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now, I like this. I think everybody here would agree that this is a good deal, but you got to remember this, friends. This was the blessings for obedience. It's not, okay, God just wrote this on paper and people do what they want to do. You live like a hellion and receive blessings. Notice what false teachers always teach you. They want to quote the first 15 verses of this. They always want to quote the first 15 verses, and they pride this, and they will beat you up in the church with this. I'm talking about spiritual blindness, so don't move away. They will use this as a text for blessings, and they want to encourage you with this. I agree. We should be encouraged. But we have to remember the context. Who is he talking to? Israel. The nation of Israel, the 12 tribes, the people of Israel who was taken out of Egypt and put into a land of milk and honey. First, that's the first point. Not that these still don't have any value on us, because you should be obedient. That's without a doubt. He's still commanding us to be morally obedient. He's commanding us to follow the laws of the land here in America, even if we don't like them. Only thing we don't have to do is submit to sin. But notice here in verse 13, he says, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you should go up and not down if you obey. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. Verse 14, and if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So we see here God lays out a conditional commandment here, a conditional chapter of obedience. The first 14 verses, are basically letting Israel know. Moses was reading this to the children of Israel. This is what you are commanded to do. If you do this, you will receive the blessings that I have for you. I will open out my hands and give you this. It was simple. God said, this is something you should do from the heart, because you have already seen I have proven myself to be God of all gods and King of all kings. I've proven myself that I am the one that's able to deliver you, just like I promised your forefathers. Notice what he says, and I can't even read them all because it's almost 60-something curses. He noticed what he says. I'll just read a few of them. But here's the condition. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command to you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Curse you shall be in the city. Curse you shall be in the field. Curse you shall be shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Curse shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Curse shall you be when you come in, and curse you should be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, frustration, and all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds. Wow. Now, most people would tell you God don't destroy nobody. I read here that God says, hey, curse you should be, you should, curses, confusion, frustration, in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish. That's not the loving God most people want to talk about, right? That's not the God most people would refer to. They would say, oh, God is love, and he is. But he told Israel, and if he told Israel, I think it applies to America too. I believe that, hey, a nation like America, who has had all of the privileges of the Almighty, we've had these 66 love letters, my friends. We've had the Bible, which is able to save our souls, which is able, if we obey it and walk in his statutes and commandments, God says, hey, the same to us. We're supposed to be one nation under God, but what God are we under? Is it little g, the God that has blinded the world? Because that's what most people do. They walk under the little g. They're submissive to Satan himself, who is the father of lies and a murderer. Notice what else he says here. He goes on to say, the Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, and with fever and inflammation and fiery heat, and with drought, and with blight, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. See, all these things, God kept his word. Do you realize God kept his word? He didn't tell him something that he wouldn't fulfill. Whether it was, if you obey me, you'll receive the blessings. If you disobey me, you will receive my judgment. And this is the problem I have with the spiritual blindness, friends, because most churches want to give you all of the things about God is love, and they treat him like the florist of FTD skipping through tulips. That is not the God of Scripture, my friends. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back to judge and jury, friends. There is no more talking or debating. He's coming back to judge the nations. And everyone who has been in violation of his will and his word as a habit of life, I'm talking about those who practice lawlessness, practice sin. 1 John chapter 4 says, he who practices sin is of the devil. of the devil. It wasn't like God was lying to Israel. If he didn't lie to Israel, he's not lying to us. There's consequences. We cannot do what we want to do and walk in this spiritual blindness. We think that grace is going to cover over our sin over and over and over, and God is not going to judge us. Some people are sick right now because of what? Because of sin. We want to go around talking about, oh, sickness is of the devil. No, sickness is allowed by God. You heard what he said here. Now, if he said this about Israel, what do you think he's saying to us as America? We kill babies. We murder them from the womb. We are very immoral. The porn industry here in America alone is almost $60 million a year. No, excuse me. Yeah, that's right, about $60 million in America alone. We have no morality in our from the White House all the way down. Everything goes, friend. Do you think God would come back and look at us favorably? Do you think the Almighty is sitting up there saying, oh, America, they're such good Christians. They follow my truth. No, friends. We have been spiritually blinded, and we seem to be very spiritually dumbed down now. We seem to be dumbed down now. We don't think that God is going to deal with America and the immorality and the injustice. We think that God is just going to sweep over this thing. It's not going to happen, my friends. Notice what he says in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You should go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms on the earth. Yeah, it used to be a time when we were sending missionaries over to China, over to third world countries to share this message of hope. Friends, now they need to come back here because we kicked Jesus out. Oh, we got churches with crosses on them. Guess what, friends? We crossed Jesus out a long time ago. We go to places that basically are synagogues of Satan, and all they promote is a gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity. But yes, guess what? None of us are prospering in the Word of God. We still spiritually blind and dumbed down because of pastors who give us a hope in this world and the things of this world and the wealth of the world. And we sitting here still quoting scriptures that were meant for Israel, that we would be lenders and not the borrowers. Friends, we're not going to take none of this junk with us. None of it is going with us. If you die today, only thing that's going to matter is, did you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord? Or is he your genie that you rub your Bible and, oh, let me quote this scripture and I'm going to get a blessing in my bank account. Who are you really serving? Who's the God that you serve? Because Israel had the true and living God, and yet they turned their back on him. So how much more is America? We've already become an apostate nation. Oh, we got a lot of quote-unquote apostles, but all they doing is filling their pockets with their title. I'm apostle this. I'm pastor this. I'm prophetess this. I'm this. I'm that. Man, you are a zero. And you need to get right with God. Because he's coming back and he's going to deal with false teachers. But he's also going to deal with all of those who've been perpetrating, who've been faking it. Notice again here what he goes on to say. He says, in verse 27, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with the tumors and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. Now, we never hear the false teacher read this. We wonder why some folks got some diseases. We wonder why people are sick. Always check the sin issue. Do you realize God will do more with a person on their back when they're humbled than he can when somebody is puffed up and prideful? Our Lord is still trying to get people to come to the cross. He's still trying to call the sinner to humble himself and come out of darkness. That's how much he loves us. Oh, God don't put sickness on nobody. In Malachi, God says, I never change. Who? My Bible says that he's going to strike you with boils of Egypt and with tumors and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind. Whoa, spiritual blindness. So we need to read our Bibles. We need to believe what God says. Now, yes, under grace, Christ comes in and gives us a new relationship. Under grace, at the cross, we can be healed spiritually. Don't mean you'll be healed physically, though. There's many people that are experiencing the reaping and sowing of past sins. Somebody that was out there, say for somebody that was in the porn industry, and they got AIDS. Doesn't mean they can't be saved and healed in the next life, but you're not guaranteed to be healed down on this side. God might let that person stay in with that condition for the rest of their life. There's many people, Christians, have HIV. But they're Christians, they're saved, they're not living that life no more. Some have herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea. God doesn't guarantee healing for everybody. But he does guarantee the healing of the soul, that we can be made in right standing when we are spiritually enlightened to the gospel and we have received the gift of forgiveness. We received his free gift of salvation and we received forgiveness for our sins, that we no longer live a slave to our sins. But you have to ask yourself, why did God, there's over, I'm not going to even read them all, but there's over 70 verses that deal with the curses. 70. It was only 14 that dealt with the blessings. But 70 curses that dealt with sin. I think God was trying to make a point. Now, he told them, if you do this, if you obey what I'm telling you, if you do this, I will bless you. 14 verses of blessings. 14 verses. But there's almost 65 or 62 verses that deal with curses and judgment. I think God was making a point. And when we look at our nation, friends, we have to say some of the same things we're experiencing right now. We got more hospitals for a reason. I have to ask the question, with all these hospitals and there's Christians in them, could it be that some of the people are on their back, some people are in the hospital because of sin? We have to look at this list. It's so much to read, and I think we all need to look at the list and say, huh, maybe I need to check myself before I wreck myself. Amen? Because God ain't playing. Now, you might say, well, you know, preacher that, minister that, that was for them in the Old Testament. That was for them in the Old Testament. Okay, let's take it over to Revelation, because, you know, Jesus is the one, the Alpha and Omega. He's the one coming back to judge, and we see that, since God the Son and the Father are in fellowship together, that they basically have the same mindset, because the Father's not doing anything unless the Son is not doing anything unless he's went through the Father. So we must realize that there's going to be a judgment upon this earth in the book of Revelations. In Revelation chapter 20, we see that there is going to be, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, then he said, I saw a great throne, and him who was seated on it, from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. When we see this dead, the dead, great and small, he basically saying kings and princes and servants, all of them. It doesn't matter who you are. Don't think that because you the president, you're going to get away with anything, or you Queen Elizabeth, or you part of the royal family. There is no royal family that will get away with it. If they're not born again of the Spirit, friends, they will spend eternity. They will spend eternity separated and part of this judgment. He says, then he says, and I saw the dead and great, the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in it, in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead. Do you realize one day God is going to vomit up all dead people that died in the ocean? He's going to literally spit them out. The ocean is going to spit out every human being that died in it. Every grave is going to spit out. It's going to happen, friends. He's going to spit out. He says, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death found. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. God is no respecter of person, my friends. God is no respecter of person. He says that death and Hades will be thrown in, and everybody that's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. Now you say, oh, well, I know my name's written in there. Well, you know, I hope you do. I hope you do. I want everybody to make it. I really do. I hope everybody get on track with God's word. It's not about Daryl. I have to make sure that I'm in right standing. I won't make it in because I didn't keep a Sabbath day. I will make it because I won't make it because I didn't follow Jesus, the Savior of my soul. I can't buy myself into the kingdom. But this is what God says. See, if you die once, you can live for all eternity. But if you die twice, friends, you spend eternity separated from the King of Glory. You spend eternity in the lake that burneth with fire forever. And that happens because you were spiritually blind and you refused the love of the truth that you may be saved. You refused to submit yourself to the King of Glory. Notice what else he says here in chapter 22. Chapter 22. He tells us here, verse 8, he says, and he said to me, verse 6 of chapter 22, and he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, he sent his angel to show his servants what soon must take place. And behold, I am coming soon. See, this is the problem I have with a Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. They don't believe he's God either. He says, and is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I have fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and the brothers, and your brothers, the prophets, with those who keep the word of the book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do no evil. He says, let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city of the gates. He says outside. Notice what he says here. Outside the gates. That's heaven. Outside the gates, he tells us this, are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. You realize that John wrote this book so that he would give a testimony of what was to come? He says, I am the root of the descendant of David to bring the morning star. The spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God would add to them the plagues described in this book. See, I don't want to play games, friends. Spiritual blindness is real all around us. And we need to be aware that we are living in some dangerous times. We're living in these final days. People ask me, how much time you think we got? I don't think we got 20 years, not the church. I don't believe that. But guess what, friends? We need to persevere, and we need to stand for righteousness and stand for truth and walk in obedience so we can receive the blessings that God has for us in heaven. We're not going to get those blessings that was promised to Israel down here. God is not getting ready to make America great again. He's not going to make America new. Friends, this world is almost about to burn up. Read the second epistle of Peter. God is one day going to unleash the heavens. The stars are going to fall out, and they're going to burn it up. Oh, I don't believe that. Okay, don't believe it. You don't believe your Bible. You see, when we start to cherry-pick our Bibles, friends, we're basically calling God a liar. God is trying to wake us up. He's trying to raise up men who will speak the truth, and some women. I don't believe in women pastors. Sorry, ladies, that's just not biblical. But I do believe women have a position, and they can speak to other women and encourage other women and build up and other women in the faith. Believe in men, women pastors. I don't address them as pastors. If God gave a specific order how men are to be the head of their household, how can a woman take off one robe and put on another? Not possible, friends. Not possible. God is a God of order. And he's structured. He's structured. Galatians, I read that one. Deuteronomy 29:4, he says, but to this day the Lord has not given you the heart to understand, or your eyes to see, or ears to hear. And John, in Romans 11:25, he says, lest you be wise in your own sight, I want you to understand this mystery. Brothers, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Well, we see that right now Israel is still under the hand of God. God is keeping Israel as a nation. He's been keeping them for a very long time. God has his hand over Israel right now to the fullness of the Gentiles. That's all of us that's not a Jew. And it's important for us to stand and pray for Israel, because they're our brothers and sisters, and God is going to save Israel as a nation. Every Jew is not going to be saved, but he's going to rescue believers. They're going to be believers that come out of Israel, Messianic Jews that come to faith, and they're going to be the ones left here, pretty much of them. Most of them are going to be here during the tribulation period, and they will be the ones that will be the eyes and the mouthpiece for God during that time. 3.5 years of peace, 3.5 years of lawlessness. God is going to unleash or allow Satan to have his way on earth. Are you prepared? Are you ready for when Christ calls you home? If Christ was to come back sometime in the next week, could you honestly say you're prepared? Do you realize that's why God says no man knows the day and the hour? He wants us to be prepared. But I hear people talking about, well, God knows my heart. You know, all of us sin and fall short of the glory. We want to be Sunday morning Christians or Sunday morning religion. But we don't fear God. We don't fear God. One of the number one statements that Solomon, the wisest man next to Jesus who lived on this earth, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He made a very strong statement that we should take heed to. We should take heed to 646-668-8468. We're going to be opening up the phone lines real soon. You can go ahead and call in now if you have a comment, if you want prayer, if you want to share anything, if you didn't like it, like this message, whatever the case may be, 646-668-8468. Not going to be take a bit long, but I want you to have the opportunity to be able to make a comment, or if you just need prayer, whatever the case may be, it's an opportunity for me to hear from you if you want that opportunity. 646-668-8468. Notice what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says, in verse 11 of chapter 12, he says, "The words of the wise are like gold, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings they are given by one shepherd." He says, "My son, be aware of anything beyond these of making many books, that there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh." Then he goes on to say in verse 13, the end of the matter, after he had finished teaching all of Ecclesiastes, after he had finished talking about the vanity of vanities, how he tried to pursue wealth and it didn't please him, how he tried to pursue women and it didn't please him, and it gave him no satisfaction. It was all vanity of vanities, and it left him spiritually bankrupt. Solomon says this, the end of the matter is this: all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Now, you might say, man, I do fear God. Do we really? I'm not talking about us stumbling here and there. We're going to all trip. We're going to all stumble. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to go into sin knowing what we're going into. We're going to do those things because we're still in our flesh, and sometimes we stir our own flesh up, and we get caught up in our own flesh, and next thing you know, we're places we shouldn't be. We're thinking how we shouldn't think, and we end up doing things we know we shouldn't do, and we have to go back and plead to our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have to ask him to restore us into fellowship. I get it. I'm be the first one to tell you that. But we have to be honest with ourselves, friends, in these last days. Who is really the God of our lives? Who is really running our lives? Are we really under the authority of Jesus Christ? Or is that just something we do on Sundays? But the rest of the week really belongs to us. Because, see, it comes a time when we're going to have to stand before God, and we don't know when our day is going to come on earth. We don't know when our last day is going to be here on earth, but we need to know without a doubt, friends, each and every one of us will stand before him, and we will have to give an account. And some he's going to say, he says in Matthew 7, many people will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons? Did I not do great works?" And Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, you might have been doing all of that, but you wasn't doing it in my name. You wasn't doing it by my spirit, and you wasn't surrendered to my word. And that's what we have to come to. Spiritual blindness, friends, is all around us. It's all around us. In John 16:33, he says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We see so much going on in these last days, friends. Lawlessness. We see people shooting cops, cops shooting people. We see all kinds of ungodly behavior going on. But one thing we must understand, friends, is that it's never for us to go and do evil for evil. That's not how God called us. That's not what he called us to. He has called us to be obedient to to his word. He called us to be obedient to the government that rules over us. He calls us to be holy. And we need to be obedient to those who rule over your bosses. We need to do what was right. See, obedience is not just, oh, Lord, I'm just going, yeah, I love the Lord. And we say we love him with our mouth, but our walk is far away from him. That's not how it works. So we need to be really thinking about, you know, who is really the God of our lives? Is it Satan or is it Jesus? Are we really surrendered to the King of Glory, the one who purchased us? Are we still trying to get something from this world? Are we still trying to satisfy and gratify the lust of the flesh? Are we still trying to let, is our pride in the way? Because at the end of it all, friends, we're walking with our eyes open, and we can see the world that we live in, this fallen world, and we need to be praying for the world. We need to be praying for people to come out of darkness, that the blinders will be removed. Or we're going to continue to go down this slippery slope. And Satan is having a field day with the majority of America right now, because there is so much hopelessness in most of the lives of people. And see, this is why it's important for us to get grounded and rooted in the Word of God. You need to be a mouthpiece. You need to tell people, if Jesus is ruling your life, if you're in a solid Bible teaching church, you should be encouraging other people to get into a church. Stand up for the truth. Walk with Jesus. And I want to invite anybody that's in the Los Angeles area, you can come out to Core Church this Thursday, 7:30 p.m., located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. We teach truth. We teach truth. And I'm here every day presenting the truth, because Jesus Christ is real. I'm going to give an opportunity as we close in prayer. If you have a prayer request, if you want to talk, if you have something to share, this opportunity for you to call in now, 646-668-8468. If you want to just make a quick comment, you can have an opportunity right now to call in, 646-668-8468, as we close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Father God, for those of us who have, the blinders are removed, and we're no longer under the spiritual blindness, Lord, but we have been set free, and our eyes are open, our ears are open to the Holy Spirit, that we would know the truth of your word, Lord, that we would grow in your truth. Time for us, Lord God, to be matured and grow up, that we would put away those childish things, Lord God, and start to live as men and women of the cross. So much evil around, so much ungodliness, Lord, but we know, Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we need to understand that the God of this age comes as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. But he cannot devour us, Lord God, because you have your hand of protection around your bride, your church. And, Lord, we know that those of us who have been crucified with Christ are no longer of the flesh, but we are of the Spirit. So we just thank you for this opportunity to be here today, Lord. We thank you for this word. We pray that all who have heard it would receive it and walk in it and let it and meditate on it and share it with other people that might need to come out of the spiritual blindness. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, 646-668-8468. If you'd like to call in right now, it's an opportunity to call in right now. So please, I'll hang around for 2 or 3 minutes. Somebody have a comment or question, anything you want to share, testimony, whatever it is, it's an opportunity for you to call in right now. If I don't get a phone call, I'll just go ahead and close it up and say thank you for watching and thank you for coming here today on Facebook Live. And unfortunately, my Periscope went dead on me. So, but for those that did not listen to all the program, you can always catch it on Blog Talk Radio just by going to Minister Big Ken 65, or you can just hook on to the link. Go to the link there and be able to go back and listen to it. And hey, we just gonna keep doing what Jesus called us to do. What's going on, Brother Parker? I see you there, man. Legend. God bless you, man. Dolores, God bless you. Lucas, God bless you. all who came today, God bless all of you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Continue to lift us up in prayer. And if the Lord puts it on your heart, if you can sponsor and be able to give us a gift of any amount to the GoFundMe account, it's on my page. The link is on my page. Please do so. But we still covet your prayers, most importantly. We thank you for your prayers. So I'm going to go ahead and shut it off. Nobody's calling in. So, hey, God bless you guys. If the Lord says the same, I'll be back tomorrow. But until then, we're just going to say, hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes. Yeah. You don't know how warm it is. Most of the long side of the game. You don't know this.
Not a physical enemy, but a spiritual weaponry adversary. Unseen, prowling, seeking who we can devour. Unclean, the balance, deceiving with every power. Feeling some gasoline, invincible of heresy. Principalities, rulers, and dominions we never see. The spirit guides us in the art of war. Full rod, let your clothes shine, armor all the